a guest speaker, Bob Lentz, here with us this morning. I'm just getting to know Bob, but I love his heart. You guys know that I did Next Gen Ministry for 20 years. I was a youth pastor, district Next Gen rep, oversaw camps. I love the next generation. I'm so excited about Bob and his heart for the next generation. His message this morning is about the next generation, and I'm so excited. Would you welcome him this morning? This is Bob Lentz.
Thanks, Sean. This is a family church. I can feel the warmth. I can feel that. Lord, forgive us for thinking it's about our preaching or it's about our programs. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for programs. Thank you for the music side of worship. But we're sorry for what we've made it. Bring us back to the heart of worship. That worship is more than a song. That it's living. It's breathing. It's living every breath that we take, from our cries to our hope, to our longing. And Father, your spirit is calling us. There's an ache in the room for the lost, especially within our own families, and how to be joyous in the Lord and yet not put the burden on us that it's yours. So we, even as we look to your word now, we ask you to give us your heart, give us your passion, and yet give us your trust, that we can trust you in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the, they'll never change, they'll never come. I speak hope right now in the name of Jesus. I speak trust in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the heritage of this church. But God is going to do a new thing. Greater things are still to be done. And there's people who want it to go back how it was when they were bigger. God, thank you for the past. We'll hold on to it. But we'll throw it into the future to bring us to where you want us to be. And he is doing new things. We're sorry for holding on to things because that's the glory days. And we're going to pray for the glory future. We're going to ask for your will to be done. And Lord, we have the space, we have the foundation, the solidness of the believers in this church, the solidness, the foundation, the history, the mentorship that's here, the foundation. They are ready to build. They are ready to build and to influence. Thank you for the unity in this community. Thank you for what's going on in Hills Live. And Father, I thought you brought me here to preach last night, but I think you brought me here for this morning. And so may we with expectation hear what the Spirit is saying. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give praise the Lord. You're dismissed. No, if it's okay, I'll still bring a word. All right, right? Well, hey, if you don't know what Foursquare stands for, Jesus, Savior, Healer, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon coming King. All right? And I pray that that four foundation, that don't camp out on just one. Right? Don't think, hey, we're better because we got the Foursquare. Just want more. I want more. I want more. And may we, no matter how long we walk with him, boast in who he is, not in even what he has done, but not for what he's provided, but for who he is. All right? How do I switch to this? Okay, here we go. I was introduced in Colorado by a friend who had known me for 25 years, and I'm just going to read how he introduced me, okay? So this is how he introduced me. Today we have with us Bob Lentz. Bob speaks to 500,000 people a year. He has spoken in all 50 states. And in 50 countries, he has authored 7 books, one called The Dignity Revolution, which is also a movement to stand up for the value of every person, which is also available in the back. He is the president of Life Fest, which runs one of the largest Christian festivals in the country in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And he said, I knew Bob when he was still speaking to junior high kids. He said, will you please welcome Bob Lenz? And I didn't know what to do. Because you see, I still speak to junior high students. I think he was trying to be nice. I think he was saying, Bob's gotten a little better. We can trust him with a real audience now. Adults. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind speaking to adults much. But I still speak to junior high students. Why? Because of this verse, I think we have it here. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And it says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and I will be with you even to the end of the earth. That's called the Great... I didn't hear you. That's called the Great...
Commission.
Commission. Can I point something out? That's the Great Commission... Not the great suggestion. That's not a suggestion. That is what Christians are supposed to be about. That is our call. That is our mission. That is what we're supposed to live for and about. I used to be a youth pastor for 7 years before I went on the road full time. And everyone thinks it's the pastor's job to do evangelism. It was a Friday night, and I got a call from one of my students. He was 16 years old, and he was a football player, and he called up, and he goes, Pastor Bob, you have to come over. I think my friend wants to come to Christ. I said, that's awesome, but I'm going to bed. He said, Pastor Bob, didn't you hear me? My friend wants to come to Christ. I said, that's awesome, but I'm only a part-time youth pastor, and I already put in 60 hours. I said, I'm going to bed. And he goes, Pastor Bob, it's your job. You have to come. Now I was a little upset. Because now not just the lead pastor and the elders were telling me my job description, but a 16-year-old high school student, football, and he played on the line. Hey, nothing against linemen. That's what I was. But I'm like, and I don't know if I should have done this, but I kind of pulled scripture on Sean. I was like, hey, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says this. God gave teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I said, if you don't know how to lead them to Christ, I didn't do my job. Good night. And I hung up on him. Now he was upset. But guess, that was Friday. But guess what happened that Sunday morning? He came into church with a brand new believer by his side. Yeah. And who led him to Christ? Not the pastor, not the youth pastor, not Hills Alive. Who led him to Christ? A 16-year-old lineman. That's the way it's supposed to be. Let me tell you this. We don't just have the good news. We have the best news. Christianity isn't something you just add to your life to make it better. It's the very reason you exist. Eternity's been stamped on our hearts, right? We will be restless until we rest in Christ, Augustine said. It's what you were made for. And yet here's the thing. We have the best news ever. I hate cancer. I lost my mom to cancer. If you had the answer to cancer, would you even hold it back from a common friend? I mean, I don't even know somebody I dislike enough that if I had the answer to cancer, I won't give it to them, right? We have the answer for this life, not just heaven, this life and the next. And yet, please, and I'm going to step on some toes today, but I pray you get convicted, not condemned. 9 out of 10 Christians have never led another person to Christ. 9 out of 10 of us, according to all the stats, never led anybody to Christ. Well, you say, well, Bob, I don't have that gift. That's the pastor's job. That's why we pay. What is he doing for his money? Right? We think it's somebody else, or it's the evangelist job, or like, because I'm looking at age, or like me, it's Billy Graham. Well, Billy's gone. It's ours. You know where I think the problem came is back in the 70s. How many of you have taken a spiritual gift test, right? To see which gift you had. Well, back then in the 70s, they actually classified evangelism as a gift. Bible scholars, show me that in Scripture. I don't see it in Scripture. Evangelism is not a gift in Scripture. Matter of fact, it says that the evangelist is the gift. You know what that means? I'm your gift. You may not like your gift. You may want to send it back to Amazon or bring it back to Walmart. But let me tell you this. It's the evangelist. Like, even if it was, okay, let me just say it was a gift. And you, when you did the test, you don't have the gift of evangelism. Does that mean you're not supposed to witness? Okay, what if this? I took the test. I don't have the gift of giving. Do I still need to tithe? Wait, I didn't hear you. Yes. Is it every Christian's responsibility and privilege to give? Yes, right? Did you know that only 3% of evangelical Christians tithe? You wonder why the church isn't where it's supposed to be? It's not obligation, it's a privilege. But it says, my spirit will come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. If you have the gift of we shall. We shall. 9 out of 10 never lead somebody to Christ, but today it's even worse. Like when I grew up in a church, and I'm sorry, but I'm putting myself with you, we knew it was our responsibility. Did you ever feel a little like guilt that you didn't share your faith? Like, I missed that opportunity. Well, it's different today. Matter of fact, 50% of Christian millennials think it's wrong to share their faith because, oh, everyone's got their own truth. They think it's wrong. You know what? I'm just saying this. It's got to come back to the point where we know it's our responsibility. Zion, how old are you? 15? Okay. I'm going to pick it. Are you a believer? Okay, good. Sometimes pastor kids aren't, I'm just telling you, right? They're hellraisers. Okay, but anyway, I hope you kick hell instead, all right? But Zion, okay, so the hope of the gospel, right? This, for some of us today, healing over past events or holding on to promises eternal. We need hope, okay? So, do you think there's anybody in Rapid City that doesn't know Christ? Yeah. Okay, right. I don't want to put even Rapid City on your shoulders. Like, I'm not here to put guilt and obligation on, but if that's Rapid City, what about South Dakota? And what about our country? Can I just say something? You can be a conservative and you can go to church and you can vote for all your policies and still not know Jesus. The government will not save America. Let me just make it real clear. But I'm not asking to put it all on. And I know being a pastor's kid sometimes is just pressure, and they expect you not to have that long of hair and, you know, oh, whatever it is. I think it's cool. Okay. But all I'm asking is this: will you live it out, not just here on Sunday, but all the time? And all I'm asking is, like, make sure that you're in the Word, not just when you're in Sunday school, right? Make sure that you worship, not just here, but worship is saying, God, I'll live for you. And live out your faith. And if just one person that doesn't know Christ shares, all you have to do is, it's my mom, before she died of cancer, she said, Bob, if I had $1 million to give you or Jesus, I'd give you Jesus. And I said, Ma, if you had $1 million and you gave me Jesus instead, you don't love me. Give me $1 million and pray I find God too. And she said, if you want $1 million more than Jesus, you don't know how amazing Jesus is. But you can't earn him. You can't be good enough. Being a pastor's kid can't even get in. John 1:12 says, to as many as receive him. So we make it so complicated. Christianity is so profound that the smartest person in the world can't understand it, but it's so simple a child can receive him. Live in that tension, right? So I'd love to give you this shirt. Right, Zion? Okay. Can I give this to you? Okay. He received. It's his. Okay. That is how simple it is to give the faith away. to make it clear that it's not about church, it's not about us, and that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That is the hope of eternal life. Now, if Zion does it with how many people? I didn't hear you. Come on, come on. Come on, you're Pentecost. How many? Well, okay. If he does it with just one person, and then when that person has a need and doesn't know what to do, they pray together. And when that person needs instruction, like, I don't know what to do, my mom and dad are getting divorced, what do I do? They look to the Word of God, right? And then, hey, why aren't you sleeping on Sunday? Hey, let me tell you, I know these guys, me, they're a little older than us, but honestly, it's a group of people, and they love me really well, and hang out, and maybe bring them here. And it's so you'd pray together, you'd study the Word together, you'd bring them here, and you'd just live together. That's called discipleship. So just do that with one person. That's all. I'm not putting a whole Rapid City on your life. Just one. And then live in fellowship. That's called discipleship, right? Because he didn't say go make decisions. He said go make disciples for 6 months. That's all. And then you each took one more, lived the example, shared Christ with them. If it started with Zion today, in less than 18 years, the whole world would be won to Christ. Did you hear me? The whole world. But we all want the big ministry, the big platform, the big church, one. But can I tell you where we are today? Here we are 2,000 years since Jesus came, and less than 18%. Look around. And this isn't, again, conviction, not condemnation. Look around. Less than 18% of youth under the age of 18 are in church this Sunday. One nation under God. Less than 18%. I ask you, are you okay with that? I'm not. I've committed my whole life to it, and I want it to change. And then people say, well, Bob, it's not about church. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Okay, well, let's go here then. 4 out of 5 people under the age of 18 worldwide, 4 out of 5 don't have a relationship with Jesus. And we're going to argue about what kind of worship we have? And how long the sermon is? And we're gonna divide one more time because of a piece of doctrine that we think is the most important? When are we gonna go back to the Great Commission and go, God, when you left the earth, you said, this is it. The last thing I say to my wife is, I love you. This is the most important. Last thing he said is, go. Go. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's turn to scripture. Luke chapter 18. If you haven't guessed it by now, there's a number I want you to know. It is 18. What number?
18.
Okay, the world could be won to Christ in less than 18 years. Less than 18% of youth under 18 are in church today. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 says this. But Jesus called the children to himself and said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to the elders. Does it say that? The children, the kingdom of God belongs to the lead pastor, to the biggest tither, to the prayer warrior, to the youth, the worship leader with skinny jeans. No, I'm sorry. No. To the band up on hill. First of all, do you know how blessed you are with this worship team? Come on. Nobody at Hills Live has anything on what you have here. You are blessed. You are blessed by what's here. But he said it belongs to the children. To the children. Please hear me. The premise of this talk today is this. We can be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Right? Is that our call, right? Amen? Not a suggestion. We can fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. By refocusing or focusing on youth. Why? I'm glad you asked. 3 reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people who put their faith in Christ will come to Christ before the age of
18.
Did you know that? That's the lowest stat. Billy Graham's organization says 75 to 85%. I took the lowest, right? Before, can God reach somebody after 18? Of course. But I'm showing you, if we're going to fulfill this, even though you're lead pastor, you're still called youth ministry. Because to equip us to reach the youth, we have to reach them before the 18. 2 out of 3 before the age of 18. I was at one church, And it was a smaller church, and I said to the pastor, how many people do you think were in service today? He said, oh, about 100. I said, really? It looked like more than that. He said, oh, we don't count the children.
Wait a minute.
Did children matter to Jesus? Should they matter to us? Yes. I was at a bigger church. Well, they call it a mega church, okay? No. Can we stop judging each other? Like people, you hear the word mega, oh, that's bad. No. It just means big. This is a mega shirt, all right? It just means big. So we're at this church, and they would play two songs, and they released the children. And I'm not talking about style of what we should do, but I asked one of the ladies, I said, why do they release the children after the songs? Said, oh, so the adults can enjoy the music. I said, oh, so it's babysitting. And she said, oh no, it's free babysitting. Now, don't get me wrong, my wife and I had 5 kids in 7 years. We love Sunday school. Can I say something though? It is not the church or this church's responsibility to win children to Christ. It's still whose? Mom and dad. And because of the breakdown of what's going on, grandparents, we gotta raise up, right? It's our responsibility. But it's not church. A good church will come alongside to partner with, to do it together, to equip us. But it's them. Just one more example. You guys have a good worship team here. My own church, there was this guy who was so gifted. He was in a couple bands, an original. And then he played cover songs and at different places throughout our town. And he came to me and said, Bob, I think God's calling me to use my gifts and talents for the church, for the kingdom. I said, that's awesome. He said, yeah. But I talked to the elders. They wouldn't even let me on the stage. I know we call it a stage. I want to call it an altar still. I'm sorry. You perform on a stage. You worship on an altar. And I'm tired of just performing. You have good musicians here, but they're worshipers first. Yes. Right? We need that both. Does that make sense? And he said, they won't even let me play on the stage on Sunday morning. They want me to play for the children's church. He said, what an insult. Mary said it to the wrong guy. After I hit him, Zion, I'm just kidding. I'm a Christian. I helped him up. I said, an insult? What a privilege. What a responsibility. What a call of God. Please hear me. So many people still think that youth ministry and children's ministry is a stepping stone to the real pastor. Please, if God has called you to be a senior pastor, I'll pray for you. Seriously, pray for senior pastors. They're big targets, and everybody today criticizes everybody, and pray for him. Lift up his arms. Lift up his arms, okay? But let me tell you this, God has called us. Vacation Bible School matters. Sunday school teachers matter. Youth pastors matter. I am praying that this church will have a youth, but you have so many in your children's church coming up that they're coming in and they need somebody to lead. Until then, continue to volunteer, but we're praying for that in the name of Jesus. So will you fulfill the Great Commission? And if we do, why? 3 reasons. We got to reach them before the age of 18. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of 18. Number two is this. The enemy is targeting. Would you do this? Just because this is the one everybody forgets. Go like this. Targeting. Like you're shooting. Targeting. The enemy is targeting our youth. Do you agree with that? Leviticus chapter. Guess what chapter?
18.
When's the last time you did a study on Leviticus? I know it's all inspired, but I'm like, God, really? You thought this was all important? But look at this verse. Leviticus 18:21 says this. Do not give any of your children be sacrificed to Moloch, for by it you profane the name of the Lord your God. All right, remember that. Leviticus 18. The enemy is targeting our youth. The Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When I'm in schools, I can't pray when I open. I can't read a scripture. I can't have worship. So we start with embarrassing moments. And it's fun. It just brings the guards down. They think I'm going to preach, and I just come and tell stories. And we do embarrassing moments, you know, and it's fun. But then I collect these. But But I was at a camp, and I went up, and the six football players are attracted to me for some reason, but they came up, and they said, I have an embarrassing moment. I'm like, tell, I'll put it in my next book. They said, Bob, mine's not funny. I'm like, well, what is it? He said, 2 weeks before I came to camp, my parents told me they were getting divorced. He said, Bob, I know I'm a big guy, but it still hurts. I know it happens to a lot of people, and I just cried and cried. And he said, I thought I wasn't going to make it, but one of my friends was there for me, went through the same thing. And I thought I was doing pretty good until 2 days before I went to camp. He said, my dad came to me. He said, the reason him and mom are getting divorced is he found a new girlfriend, a younger woman who he wanted to start a new life with. And he said, I talked to your mom, and she said she can handle your sisters, your two sisters, the girls, but she doesn't think she can handle you. And she said, and he said, and I just want to start a new life with my new girlfriend. So he looked at his son of 16 and said, so we called social services. And we're seeing if we can get foster care until you're 18. Did you feel that? He said, Bob, you know how embarrassing it is to go to school and tell them your parents are in court because neither of them want you? Christian, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? But this is nothing new. Real quick, because of time, Israelites are in Egypt, but God is prospering them even under slavery. There's another message. Even in your hard time, God can prosper you, amen? But Pharaoh came and said, kill all the children, especially the male boys, right? Remember when Jesus was born, the wise men came on the camels looking, following the star, they went to Herod. They said, where is he born, the king of the Jews? Herod said, I don't know, but when you find him, tell me, because I want to worship him too. Did Herod want to worship him? How many kings can you have in your life? Just one. You can't bow down to Jesus and money, Jesus and nationalism, Jesus and wokeness. You have to bow down to Jesus alone. But God, through angels, warned the wise men, they went another way. Herod went and killed all the boys under three. This is the plot of the enemy. It always has been. He's even targeting children in the womb. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who's behind it? This God of Molech. Look him up later. God of Molech was small g, obviously, but he's a god of fire. He had a head of a bull and a body of a human. If you look at, you see them in movies, there's fire coming out, right? Maybe I'm stretching scripture and I don't want to, but could the bull represent Wall Street? Yes. Now, I'm not Occupy Wall Street, but I'm tired of people bowing down to the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. And we need to serve Jesus and not just prosperity gospel. Please hear me loud and clear. But if you wanted your life to go good, you wanted your kids to do well, like we prayed this morning, your prayers would be answered more if you give more money. The church has done that throughout the years. But guess what Molech wanted? Your actual child. You would actually, I thought it was so beautiful, coming and giving an offering as a part of worship. But guess what, Molech? You had to come and put your child in the fire. And the child would be burned. Especially parents, but moms, can you hear the cry in your mind? And even the smell? So you know what they did? They played the drums louder and louder to drown out the cries of the children. And you're like, you think we need to go back to the old times? That's in the Old Testament. That's an evil people. We would never do that, right? Please hear me. Every day in America, 1,800 teenagers attempt suicide under the age of 18 every day. 1,800 attempts. Here's one time I hate the number 18. 18 a day completed. And those stats were before COVID. It went up 300% during COVID, the calls to suicide hotlines. And it isn't coming back down because of the isolation that is happening. And you know what I think we're doing? We're drowning out the cries of the youth. You know what the drum is? Busyness. We don't have time for meals together. We don't have time to be present. How are you doing? Really good, but I'm so busy. And it should be easy for a preacher to talk about worldliness and about running after the things of the world. But when I wrote this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Because when my daughter Amber was young, she said to me, "Daddy, why do you like going and speaking more than being with us?" What was I supposed to say? "Because they clap. Last week I got a standing ovation. If just once when I came home, your mom and you would get up, get off that couch and applaud, I would come here more." Do you think I said that? No. Her words hit my heart. We have a new saying in our family. As a family, we'll sacrifice, but we will not sacrifice our children. And not even for ministry's sake. Christianity is the only one where God, you don't have to appease God. He appeased his own through the death of Christ. Please, the enemy is targeting. Will you be that mother bear? Today you were mother bears and dads and grandma and grandpa standing in the gap today asking for your family to come back to Christ. Your words and your shame will not do it. Love and prayer can. Trust God, all right? So two more, we gotta go. He's gotta go baptize. Okay, so here we go. Who wants to fulfill the Great Commission? Raise your hand, I'm sorry, I need it, okay? Here we go. You're gonna fulfill the Great Commission. So we're gonna do what? Refocus on the youth. Why? Three reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of? 18. Number two, the enemy is?
Targeting.
He got it. And targeting that, we're going to stand in the gap. Number three is this. Number three, it's the heart of Jesus. You know, everybody does this nowadays. Zion, do it with me. It's the heart of Jesus. It's the heart of Jesus. If you want to know the new Christian artist everybody likes is Forrest Frank. And he put my heart back together. Okay, all right. But it's the heart of Jesus. Yeah, that was for you, Addie. It's the heart of Jesus. One more verse. This one comes from Matthew. Guess what chapter? You can't make that up. Sean, I'm not that smart. Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6. It says, Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name, welcomes me. But if anyone causes these little ones to sin, it'd be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown in the depths of the sea." Those are heavy words. And you know who said them? Jesus. You know, I can tell they're in red. Those are Jesus' words. There's a card game. I don't know if you watch on TV or if you have the freedom to play cards. I'm not trying to get in trouble here. But there's a card game called Texas. Ah, you do have some free people. Okay. So Texas Hold'em. But they have a term when they're going to bet a lot. They say, I'm all in. These are all in words. Jesus, who deserves our worship, didn't come to be worshiped, but to seek and to save the... He gave everything for this. Jesus' heart was for the lost. Jesus' heart was for the transgender. Jesus' heart was for the prostitute. Jesus' heart was for the addict. And if we don't have that heart, we don't have the heart of Jesus. And it's not our moralism that's going to win the world. We are not the good people and they're the bad people. We are the broken people that are put back together because of Jesus. And if we can be the people of God and be restored, redemption and renewal, and then the harvest will come. God wants to get rid of the old wineskin and make a new wineskin because greater things are still to be done in this church. Greater things are still to be done here. So may we get the heart of God again. May we get the heart of the Father again and say, "I'm all in." In closing, if you're a business person, anybody here a businessman or woman? Okay. You, whatever God is doing, I knew this morning and I wanted to be a part of it, girl. All right? God cares. But if 2/3 of your business came from one group of people, would you ignore that people? Would you ignore the 2/3 of your business people? No. Would you talk behind their back? Would you roll their eyes when they walk in? If I hear one more adult talk about the next generation and how they don't like to work and what they do and how entitled. Is that how you love somebody? I wonder if the enemy has us turned our views are negative instead of seeing the potential in the image of God in the next leader in the youth. And all we see is their sin. My sister, who I came up here and had pray, and I may get it wrong, says, but the devil knows our name, but calls us by our sins. God knows our sins, but calls us by our name. That's what we need to do to others. See the Imago Dei. Sin did not erase the image of God. It just marred it. But if you have eyes of love, you can see past sin, and you can see the beauty, and you can see that redemption can come. Please do that. Please do that. So if 2/3 of people come to Christ before the age 18, and the enemy is targeting that, it's a hurt of Jesus, and our job is to win the lost, what percent of the budget do you think should go towards youth? Okay, elders here, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. But can I tell you what it is? So if your business, 2/3 of your business came here, you would invest, develop, nourish. 2/3 of people come before 18. And yet the average church in America spends less than 18% of their resources on youth 18 or under. But we say that's our mission. But something's not lining up. World missions. The whole purpose is to win the world of Christ. Yet we know that 2 out of 3 will come to Christ before they're 18. Can I tell you what percent of money for world mission goes to kids under 18? These are stats, less than 10%. And we wonder why the job's not getting done. Dude, I just called you all dude, bro, okay. What? My grandkids look at their mom, bro. Whatever, okay. But please hear me. I don't speak this way unless I'm talking to family. I sense God saying, these people know my heart. They can handle this message. Then I'm gonna ask you, will you refocus on youth? Will you? I'll end with this. I said that twice. You know what it means when a pastor says in closing? Nothing. I was in Pennsylvania at a festival like Hills Alive, and I had youth pastors in the room. And a Methodist youth pastor, you talk about a denomination that started like this. Where do you think Foursquare came from? That's underneath that heritage, right? John Wesley, right? Gosh. But it plateaued and stabilized. And the Methodist church as a whole is going like this, except in Cuba. I was just in Cuba. Oh, anyways, okay. They had a youth gathering. They did the whole district. The whole district, they had 100 students only. I say only because it used to be thriving. But they had a lock-in with junior high kids. It's like Red Bull, you know? I mean, junior high is hard enough, but then no sleep for a whole night. But they did games, they did worship, they did Bible study. And the kids wanted to be in the church so bad, they were leaning on the door so they'd get the front seats for worship. Does that happen in any church you know? They broke the lock. It cost $35, I know it was years ago, but it cost $35 to get that lock broke. One of the kids broke the rules and they brought a Coke into the sanctuary. And they spilt on the carpet and they had to wash the whole carpet. So the elders got together and said they couldn't have the youth retreat there the next year. Now, please hear me. Go look at my Dignity Revolution. I'll talk about respect, respecting our elders, respecting, you know, the military, respecting government, respecting buildings, respecting that, right? I talk about respect. But with that said, I hope destiny has the most broken doors and the most dirty carpet of every church in this state. Why? Because we say we want them to know Jesus, but our actions and our words and our pocketbook isn't showing it. It's time to man up. It's time to woman up. It's time that we know that the highest place on earth is at the foot of the cross. I'm gonna ask you, your time, your talent, and your treasures to be put towards my retirement so I can live the good life. to be put towards, again, the Great Commission. Whether that's tithing again, whether that's going, we're going to get a fund because we put on a youth pastor. We may not have the money. So today, God is speaking to some of you right now to go to Pastor Sean and say, Sean, I'm going to give above my tithe. Let's get a fund. Let's get the first year in place. We can hire somebody. Do you want to, wait, you want to grow? Right? Hills Alive is great. That's one piece of the body. This is where the action is. It's time to go into schools. I talked to Pastor Sean. It doesn't have to be me. I'm gone enough. But bring me or bring somebody into your public schools, to your Catholic schools, your Lutheran schools. Let's work together. Let's share. I love that story about the Catholic. They know how to pray. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's work together. Let's focus on what matters. Will you? It's the heart of Jesus. So in closing, here's my call. Will you fulfill the Great Commission by refocusing on youth? Why? Three reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of 18. Don't worry about buying any merch today. The money just goes to pay for gas for the jet ski for my grandkids. Just kidding. My wife came to me and said, let's not take one penny. Let's put it all back into going into public schools and reaching the lost. So please, I unashamedly ask you, everything that you purchase today, buy a book to give away. Buy a book for the person you're praying to come back. Buy a shirt. Do something. Go to Sean. But let's do it. 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of? The enemy is? And it's the? Would you, and I know it's formal, but would you, if you're willing, would you say, God, I'm all in. Stamp eternity on my eyeballs, Jonathan Edwards said. If that's you, as Pastor Sean comes to pray, would you just stand? And by standing, you're saying to the enemy, you're saying to the Father, you're saying to your pastor, we're ready. We want to fulfill the great, we're not done. We're not just going to hold on till heaven comes. We're going. We're going to the schools. We're going to the streets. We're going to our neighbors. We're going to our families. Come back. If that's you, would you stand? And it only stand if you really, it's okay if you don't. I'll shame you later. But I believe that what's happening this morning through the prayer and through this call is more important than if I would have preached last night. Just one person as I am, and then hang out, that's called discipleship. 18 years, the whole world. God wishes that none shall perish, but all to come to eternal life. Holy Spirit, like Pentecost, pour out your Spirit upon each person. And I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit, that they would, power and evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that they would be witnesses. And they would break all the statistics. And the lost would come to Christ. Their children and their children's children. And the ones who have walked away will come back. Bring the prodigal home. And I'm not ashamed to pray. I pray that this place would double in size. And that the family would grow. And recovery would happen. And lives would be put back together. And blended marriages would flourish. And marriages would be saved. And the lost would be won. And schools would be impacted. For your sake. For your name. Bless all the people being baptized. And may they dress really quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, John.